Past three Sundays, let's do a quick recap. We're in the core truths of life, the undeniable, unmistakable. Any self-help guru, including Dr. Phil, would be more than willing to write a book called the core truths of life. And I believe that these core truths of life are unmistakable. And I also believe that they're rooted first and foremost in Scripture itself. So let's take a moment, quick recap. For those that maybe haven't been here for the past couple of weeks, quick recap. First core truth of life is? There is truth. Oh, you know, it's like, oh. Music to my ears. Wonderful. There is truth. That's right. You have to start off with a core concept that there actually is a truth. You have to have something in your life to anchor yourself to. If you just live as if there is no truth, then your life will actually reflect that. Your life will, your actions, your attitudes will all be determined by what truth you hold near and dear to your heart. If you don't have any, that will affect how you live. Second core truth of life was? You are valuable, you are special, you are loved. No, not just like that. It's the idea that there's an intrinsic value that's been placed upon you, not because of any circumstances that you're in, not because of anything you've done, but because of how God already has viewed you and what God has already done for you. It transcends the good, it transcends the bad, and it just actually is. Third core truth of life is? There is a purpose in life. Yes, this one was fascinating because I had those four quadrants up there, whether you found your purpose or not, or if you're doing something or not. And so many people came up to me afterwards and said, you know what, I'm in that upper right-hand quadrant where I'm doing a lot of stuff, but I have no idea what in the world I'm doing it for. I have no purpose in life. And I've been praying for these people. I've been praying for you that God would eventually, ultimately reveal that purpose so that you would be able to operate in that purpose. And then, week four, God is good. The fourth core truth of life. It's unmistakable. It's undeniable. Life sucks. I'm waiting for the CD to come out because I think that'll be really cool, don't you think? The big old label, Life Sucks. God is very good because he often helps preachers and ministers out in giving them sermon material. This past Tuesday morning, woke up, thought everything was hunky-dory in our household. We went out. There was little Joshua. We're holding him. And Heather says, do you notice something weird about Joshua? I'm like, no. What? We look down at Joshua. Sure enough, big, huge, giant lump. Right in his jaw, throat, neck area. Well, of course, that concerns any parent, so we quickly got on the phone. It's about 7:30 in the morning. The doctor said, well, we do have a 9 o'clock appointment, or you can go to the ER. Of course, we opted to go to the doctor since it takes about 2 hours to get through the ER anyway. Might as well just go to the doctor. I came in, had some kids with me. I'm just doing stuff. The next thing I know, I get a phone call. Mark, they're bringing Joshua in for a CAT scan. And I'm like, a CAT scan? What for? CAT scan. Come to find out that he does have a mass that has been growing in his neck. It is all bacteria related. It is not related to any cancer of any sort, no lymphoma or anything like that, or leukemia. But he did have a bacterial infection. So they started giving him some IV antibiotics and no response. Nothing's happening to him. And wake up the next morning, the doctor looks at him and goes, well, that's not what I expected. I was just hoping that he was going to be a little bit better by now. His cheek and his face was still rosy and puffy and bulging out. So that's when all of a sudden some emails started getting shot around. And thank you all for those of you that have been praying diligently. This past week has been gone. I'm just amazed, to tell you the truth, that I have something intelligent to say this morning. I pray that it's somewhat intelligible to you, since I've been mainly at the hospital. Someone had to be with little Joshua 24/7, so my life has been pretty much over at the hospital. So I wrote some things down. I hope they make sense to you. I hope they make sense to me. But that's what my past week has been like, and that's only been a week. Now he's at home, just to let everyone know. He's at home. He's got a portable IV unit. He's still receiving the antibiotics. He'll be doing that for another 10, 11 days, and then he should be okay. But, of course, when it rains, it pours. This morning we woke up, and our other son has been pulling at his ears and is running 103-degree fever. So that's why, if you don't see Heather around, that's because she's at the doctor's office right now with little Jacob trying to find out what's wrong with him. So we definitely, that's one of the reasons why I say that probably one of the most important ministries is praying for your pastor and for Chris, and especially for our kids, that God would protect them, because that's where a lot of the attacks end up. Now, this is really kind of sad because this was only just a week. My goodness gracious, that's, my life has been sucking for the past week. Now, that is absolutely nothing in comparison. Now, you know, okay, let me stop a moment because I want to make sure I don't throw out any offensive words. I want to define what I mean when I say that life sucks. What I do not mean when I say life sucks is that life is unworthy, not worth it. Life should be ended in any way, shape, or form. Life is so hard that it cannot be accomplished. It's meaningless. I don't want to give that impression. That's not what I mean when I say life sucks. We had a debate. It was right when we started this series. Had a debate with Chris on what the title is. I said that the title should be Life is Hard or Life is Challenging. And she's like, come on, just come out and say it. Life sucks. And, you know, I'm like, well, and then, of course, now that I've gone through this past week, I 100% fully agree with it. That's what I mean when I say life sucks. Life is hard. Life is challenging. Life is difficult. Now, and this has only been happening for me for, you know, 5, 6, 7 days. I know people sitting right here in this group that have been battling things much longer than 6 days, have been battling illnesses, have been battling death, have been battling things with family members, illnesses, depression, all those things that really make life a difficult thing. Now, and that's just the big stuff. Now we take it to some other stuff that makes things really difficult in our life. Our family, our marriage, our children, all of those things kind of compound. The daily grind that we have sometimes causes us to sit down in a corner weeping at the top of our lungs, yelling out, life sucks. It's hard. It's difficult. It's challenging. What am I going to do? I have a video clip I'm going to show you. It's I always say it's from my favorite movie, but this is kind of one of my favorite movies. I got a lot of favorite movies, but this I like a lot of movies. But this is a great little movie. If you don't know it, you need to just go out. Don't even rent it. Don't waste your money renting. Just go out and buy it. It's called The Princess Bride. Oh, yes. No more rhymes, and I mean it. Yes, yes, wonderful, good. So many of you have seen that. If you have not seen it, you will watch it, and then you'll realize why everyone's laughing and having such a good time with The Princess Bride. It stars Cary Elwes and Robin Wright. Robin Wright is the princess. She, right at the beginning of the story, she falls in love with this poor farm boy, and unfortunately, he doesn't have enough money to pay for the wedding, so he goes off to make his fortune. While he's gone, his ship is attacked by the Dread Pirate Roberts. As we all know, the Dread Pirate Roberts does not take any captives. So the report comes back, your love is dead. They didn't say how much long afterwards, but eventually she got engaged to Prince Humperdinck. Prince Humperdinck actually chose her and is marrying her, even though she doesn't love him. And in order to start a war, some people have captured the princess bride and have taken her away. And this weird gentleman in the mask has come to rescue her. She doesn't know yet that it is her long-lost love, but we find out later it is. And Cary Elwes has probably, I think, one of the greatest lines besides inconceivable in the whole. See, if you have, I can see who's watched the movie and who hasn't, like, inconceivable. What's so funny about that? Oh, watch the movie. It'll be a hoot. So besides that, there is one other clip. This is a short clip. It's only about a minute long. And let's watch it from Princess Bride. And let's watch right now. Right there, that's probably the greatest line, I think, in all of moviedom. Life is pain, and anyone that tells you differently is trying to sell you something, something that will help alleviate your pain or make your life easy and simple. Well, when people say life is easy, life is simple, they're selling you something. Watch out, because it is true, life is pain. Now, I had a couple ways that I could have gone with this little message of mine. You probably are thinking, huh, I wonder where he's going to go with this. We could sit around for the next, half an hour and just commiserate together. We could, all raise our hand and we could all talk about how horrible our life has been. And it would just be really wonderful. And, oh, that's happened to me too. And we could just, our life is horrible. We could just sit around telling horror stories for the rest of the half. I mean, I've talked to many of you about difficulties you're having in your life. It wouldn't surprise me. We could fill up 10 sermons with just the problems that people are facing, just the difficulties of trying to get through the next day of life. I could have gone that route. I chose not to. I could have gone another route, and this is the route I'm sure a lot of people, a lot of pastors might have actually taken, and that is I could have just made you feel guilty for the fact that your life is difficult, and you should be thankful that you're alive, and you should be happy, and then I would quote you a Bible verse. Do you have your Bibles there? Let's quote you a, the only reason why I say this is because I've had people quote this to me when things get difficult, and you want to slap them a little bit and give them a little Holy Spirit jolt right in their face. I'm not advocating pain. Matthew 11, starting verse 28. Matthew 11, 28. I'm not going to sit around here and misquote Scripture to you. I don't want to give you a view of life that is unrealistic. Because I think you would all smell that out. You would sniff that out and say, well, that's not true. How could I go around saying life is easy, life is wonderful, when it just doesn't seem to resonate with 99.99% of people alive? It just doesn't resonate. And here's that wonderful, starting verse 28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So then you extrapolate out, wow, if I become a Christian, that must mean that my life, the burdens placed upon me are going to somehow be easy and wonderful. And we start shaming those people, those Christians that are having a tough time, a tough go of life. And they start thinking, well, maybe I'm not a Christian. I don't walk around with this wonderful Pollyannish pie in the sky theory about life, and it's hard and it's difficult for me, but yet I hear this other thing. Which one is right? Never misquote Scripture. Matthew 11 is not talking about how life is going to be. It's talking about the requirements that God has of you. The requirements of God is faith in Jesus Christ, as opposed to what the world says, which is you just work your butt off and then you get your reward. Matthew 11 has nothing to do with the idea that somehow life is easy and life is simple. Life is painful, life is challenging, life is difficult. So we could commiserate, we could misunderstand Scripture, or we could appropriately look at Scripture and appropriately look at life and understand the reason why this is difficult. First and foremost, can anyone here possibly name me a biblical character that had an easy life? Jonah? Nah. Now, Noah, lots of splinters. Prophets, most of them killed. Yeah, you start going, because I did that. I said, maybe I've got it wrong. Maybe life is easy, and maybe if I found some biblical characters that had kind of these easy lives, I could say, well, here's our model. Let's lift them up, and let's all try and be like these people. But I couldn't find any. I searched, and I searched, and I searched. And that's when it finally hit me. I had to ask myself the right question. And this is what I'm going to do. You always hate throwing questions out to people, because then you get some really weird, wacky stuff coming back. But I like to do it just to see. But especially with Kim sitting here, my sister-in-law, she always has some weird things that she can. But no, she always has. I love my sister-in-law, don't get me wrong. But my goodness, does she come up with good questions or what? Yeah, when it comes time to trip the pastor up, she's good at that. So this is the question. Here's the experiment. Let's give it a try. Think in your mind, and if you need to write them down, write them down. List some things that are worthwhile, important, and significant. Just in general. Maybe it has to do with your own life, or maybe it's just life in general. What are things that you would classify as worthwhile, significant, or important? Just take a moment, brainstorm, think. Got a couple brewing in your head? Let's see if we can listen to some of those things in life that are worthwhile, significant, and important. What did you come up with? Parenting? Family?
Faith?
Teaching? Come on this side. Come on. There's more of you here. Come on. Relationships? Self-esteem? Forgiveness? Football. Praise God. Yes. Where are the sticks? Where are the sticks? Oh, you left. Where's the rally sticks? Hey, the thunder sticks from Anaheim Angels. Yes. Baseball. Very significant. Very important. You got to understand, as churches, we're not allowed to advocate any political or political parties or anything like that, but we can't support any local baseball teams. So, if you watched a game last night, you were probably screaming at the TV with me. Yeah! What else? What else is worthwhile to say? Yes, Jacob.
Having a PlayStation 2.
Very important. Like I said, you always get nervous when you throw a question out because you get some very interesting stuff. But I think PlayStation 2, okay, maybe it's not so significant, but maybe there's some worthwhileness to that. Yeah, these are some great things because that's exactly what I did. I started listing and I started thinking of all the things. And I'll tell you, the first thing that popped in my mind for some reason was basketball. I mean, let's talk to Michael Jordan and let's find out if basketball is important to Michael Jordan. Is it significant in his life? And you would say, oh, yeah, of course it is. And then you would also, I also thought of Mother Teresa and the difficulty that she has of caring for the poor and the downtrodden. And that's significant. That's worthwhile. And then, yeah, start bringing it a little bit closer to home. So not so much out there, but in here. And you say, well, I guess parenting, that's significant, isn't it? That's worthwhile. That's important. Let's see. Teaching, that's significant. My relationships that I have, very significant with spouses, with parents, with children. Relationship with God, I mean, we would all say, yeah, that's a very significant thing in our life. Now, you compile all those things together, what is the common denominator of all of these?
They're hard.
They're difficult, and they're challenging. No one would walk around saying, I think parenting is easy. If you are...
Not if you watch Oprah,
yeah. And if you are not married and don't have children... I have some time available this afternoon with five children in my household that y'all can come over and you'll find out really quickly, parenting ain't easy. It's hard. Marriages are hard. It's hard. It's very difficult for me when I do premarital counseling for, you know, young lovebirds. Oh, goo goo, yes, I love you, schmoopsie bear and all that. Yeah, and I know that because I was once in that location. I was once in that place. It's very hard to look at people and tell them, you know what? Marriage is going to be hard because at that moment in their life, the relationship that they have with their fiance or their boyfriend or girlfriend, it's very easy. It's easy to find that love. Those feelings come out. It's all very simple. Well, and then the rest of us married folk that have been married for a little while, we say, that's okay. Give yourself 5 years and then come talk to me again. Yeah, it's hard. It's difficult and it's challenging. What else is there? Your job. I think everyone would say that most people's jobs are that. That's why we call them jobs. They're work. It takes energy and effort to accomplish anything in life. What else did I write down? Oh, and I think the learning. That's a big one. For some people, school comes easy. For some people, they can get A's without even studying. That's not what I'm talking about. School and learning are two totally different topics. How do I know? Because I was there. I breezed through grade school, junior high, high school. I got into college and I started. It was okay, there's a little bit. And then all of a sudden seminary hit and I had to learn about supralapsarianism and Nestorianism and Eutychianism and all these weird isms. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm having brain. Oh, this is hard because all of a sudden I was being challenged to actually learn something. School could be easy. But I tell you this, learning stuff is absolutely hard and difficult. And the same thing, I think, with relationship with God. I think we've given people a false sense of what the Christian life is supposed to be. We have told people, hey, just become a Christian, everything in life just becomes easy. We may not come right out and say that, but we kind of make it sound that way. We make it sound so wonderful, so glamorous, that people jump in quickly, and then the next thing you know, the challenges start hitting them, and they start falling by the wayside. And they say, well, wait a second, how could this be? No, anything that has to do with a relationship is work. It is difficult and it is hard. If you haven't figured that out, trust me, that will be a lesson you will learn and will absolutely take to the bank. So this is my statement. Anything that is worthwhile is difficult. And I think that is why it is very easy for me to say, life sucks. Life is hard. Life is challenging. Because I come from the philosophy, life is important. It is significant. It is something that we should work at. Got to be careful. This is a shift of thinking that a lot of people say, I would be able to do better in life if only I had more, and then just fill in the blank. If only I had more money, life would be a little bit easier for me. If only I had more time. Oh, if only I had more time. Everything would be so simple and easy. I think we would end up like if we had to work a 40-hour day, I think we would all go nuts, I'm sure. Well, if only I had more help, energy, more PlayStation 2 games. Yes, if only I had more. If only I had more power. You know, this work thing is really hard, but if I had more power, if I had more influence in my job, this thing would be just a piece of cake. Because I used to think that way too, and then it hits you. Is there somebody that we know that has unlimited resources, unlimited power, unlimited time? Do we know anyone like that?
Bill Gates.
Yeah. We think it's Bill Gates, no. Unlimited pocket protectors? No. There is someone that is wealthier than Bill Gates. There is someone that has more time than Bill Gates. There's someone that even has more power than Bill Gates, strangely enough. And it's not the people over at Mac. Don't get me started, Brian. Don't. Who is that person? Come on, it's the Sunday school answer. Very good, yes. Jesus? Very good. Sorry, it's the answer. I mean, didn't Jesus have it all? I mean, seriously. I mean, he had all the power in the world. He could do anything. Someone's dead, bring him back to life. We're all getting kind of hungry, multiply some loaves and some fish. Someone's sick, let's heal him. That is amazing power that he had. Did he also have unlimited resources? Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness gracious. If he can multiply, you know, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, also, they're going out and they need to pay some tax. So Jesus is like, oh, gosh, where am I going to find some money around here? Throw your pole in here. Catch that fish. Yeah, that fish right there. Yeah, bring it up here. Bring the fish up. There's a coin in his mouth. Go figure. Jesus can do that kind of stuff. He's amazing. Unlimited resources were at Jesus' disposal. Did he have unlimited energy, unlimited time? I mean, he had everything that I think all of us would covet and say, boy, if only I was like Jesus, if only I had all the things that Jesus had, then my life would be somewhat easy. And then you have to ask yourself the question, did Jesus have an easy life? I mean, just rattle it off. He was betrayed by his closest friends. His family thought he was a nutcase and should be committed. He had a bunch of followers. Every time he did a miracle, they went all goo-goo and just asked him to do more miracles. Never got the point. Even his closest disciples never fully got the realization. He was constantly being spied upon. I mean, talk about conspiracy theory and getting all freaked out. Jesus was constantly being followed and attacked and criticized for everything that he said or did. And then ultimately, betrayed by one of his closest friends, put on a cross by some people that were supposedly in power, and ultimately then had to die. Easy life? The best thing to do when you take a look at Jesus' hard life is read it in Mark chapter 14. Let's look at that. Mark chapter 14. Starting in verse 32. Maybe you guys know this story, maybe you don't. But this is going to kind of encapsulate the struggle that Jesus had in his life. It all came really down to this. There was a breaking point. Maybe you've already guessed it. Mark 14:32. They went to a place called Gethsemane. Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him and began to be deeply distressed and troubled. Deeply distressed and troubled. You mean he wasn't skipping through the lilies? "Oh, I'm so happy." Deeply distressed and troubled. And what does he say? "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Sometimes it's easier for a pastor to translate the original languages. I'm going to paraphrase for you. Life sucks. Stay here and keep watch. Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." The pain that Jesus was feeling when he says, here, again, the guy with unlimited power, unlimited resources, the person that could do anything is saying, "This is hard and this is challenging." Why was Jesus' life hard and challenging? Well, because first and foremost, Jesus' life was significant, was worthwhile. It actually accomplished something. But more than that, it kind of ties into what we talked about 2 weeks ago. That Jesus had a shift. No, take that back. Jesus never had a shift. He had it right all the time. He had it right from the get-go. He came and suffered. He allowed all the betrayal. He had all this power and yet was overwhelmed to the point of death because he saw something worthwhile and significant and important, and that was us. He could have written this off. I mean, it's pretty simple for an infinite God to take care of finite, mortal human beings. Couldn't he just snap a finger and off we go? Why didn't he do that when Adam and Eve sinned? Why did he let it go on for years? How come he's still letting it go on? Because people are valuable. People are important to him. And if anything in life is important, it's going to be hard. Get used to it now. When the night before we found out that Joshua was sick and we needed to take him to the hospital, was a really hard night in the Manning household because he was up every hour on the hour crying. Now, if you know my son Joshua, out of all of my children, he is the quietest. I'm scared one of these days that his brothers are going to stuff him in a closet somewhere. We're never going to find him because he's so quiet. And he's such a good baby. How come he's waking up every hour on the hour screaming at the top of lungs? He's been fed. He's been diapered. He's been held. Why is he scared? And, you know, it's in the middle of the night. It's dark. We're tired. And, you know, by the morning light, I was absolutely dead and I was absolutely frustrated because I said, "This isn't worth it. My goodness, I'm waking up every single hour." And then you look down and you see the lump in his neck, and all of a sudden, for some reason, I got a burst of energy because I realized that the difficulty of the previous night is now manifesting itself here, and it was important that we take care of him. And that child is so significant, and his life is so crucial to us that we don't care how many sleepless nights we get, how hard or difficult it happens, we're going to continue to love those children even though it's hard. And that was a shift. I actually thought that on that Tuesday morning. And again, God is a good God that he gives you sermon material, and that's going to be the same thing with everything else we just talked about. Your marriage is hard. It is difficult. Too many people, when they go up against something hard and difficult, just say it's too hard and difficult and then give up. That's not how it's supposed to be. Just because something went from something that seemed rather easy and it got more difficult along the way, that's not the reason to chuck it. Because everything in life that is worthwhile and valuable should not be discarded. The same thing with your children. It's going to be harsh. It's going to be challenging. But that's not time to give up. Just realize once again the significance that you are playing in those people's lives. You have the power to influence an entire generation of people just by caring for, loving for, providing for, and shaping the children under your care. That's incredible power. That's incredible responsibility. That's incredible significance. And I think we've minimized that too much. What's your job? Oh, I'm just a housewife. Just a housewife? Is there any such thing? What do you do? Oh, I just care for my children. The most important job known to mankind. It's important and it's significant. Your job is important and it's significant. Your schooling, your learning. It's going to be hard sometimes. You're going to run into teachers that you don't like, that punish you, that take pride and pleasure in showing your big fat F in front of the entire class, that won't listen to you when you say that you've had a hard week. Pastor Manning said life sucks. Can you give me a break? Oh. It's going to be hard and challenging. You are going to face those people that are going to make it absolutely horrendous. But anything worthwhile, anything significant, is going to be hard. Your relationship with God. Your relationship with God, again, we've taken that Matthew 11 passage of, you know, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, come to me, all you who are weary, and I'll give you rest. And we sometimes say, oh, well, that means that somehow my relationship with God is going to be easy. It's going to be, you know, a piece of cake. No, it's not. If it's worthwhile and significant to you. If it's not worthwhile, if it's not significant to you, well, then you'll put exactly that much time and energy and effort into it. But when you start realizing how vastly important it is to have, develop, and maintain that relationship with Him, you all of a sudden find out it's hard work. It's hard work. It's not easy spending time in prayer. I know it's not even easy coming to church. I know how hard that can be. I have to sit here for two services. Praise God, the Anaheim Angels game is on at 4:30. And they usually show the Oakland Raider game usually at the 1 o'clock time spot. But it's hard. It's difficult. Do you think it's easy for the band to get up here week after week? And especially when we made the announcement, oh, we get to go to two services. You get to come here an hour earlier. Oh, yeah. They all started jumping for joy because church is so easy. Church is so fun. Church is so light. No, it's hard. Is it difficult studying your Bible? Sure it is. But anything that's worthwhile and significant is going to be hard. And when you have that shift of thinking, you say, well, now I understand. Now I understand that this is hard. Now I understand this is difficult. That's going to give you that much more energy and excitement and enthusiasm to follow through on it. And this ultimately takes us to the biggest thing, and that's life. Life is important. Too many people give up on life and have fallen by the wayside. Can't seem to grab them fast enough. And when you give up on life, when you give up on the significance and how hard it is, that's when the terrible things start happening. And that's why these core truths are so important. Because your life is so valuable, your life is so crucial, that God was willing to die for it. You are that pearl of great price. You are that treasure hidden in the field. The significance that you hold caused the creator of this universe put aside everything he had to come for the sole purpose of loving you and bringing you back into his arms. That's significant. That's difficult. And that's why God does it. And that's why we love back. Let's pray. Father, it's been a hard week. I'm tired. Lord, life is pain.
just difficult to get through this sometimes with sick kids and hospital visits, illnesses. Huge responsibilities. Our relationship with you, our relationship with our spouse, our relationship with our kids, school. Add it all up, Lord, and sometimes we just want to cry out that life sucks. Our souls are overwhelmed to the point of death. Thank you, Lord, that when the going got tough, you didn't give up on us. I'm sure it could have been easy. But you stuck with us. And you loved us in spite of that. Your son actually died for us and cares for us even to this point. Father, help us. There are so many people this morning that I'm sure are going through things much more difficult than I am. And maybe they have said to themselves that it is so difficult, it is so hard, that I just want to give up, that my relationship with my spouse is too hard, my relationship with my kids is too hard, my relationship with you, God, is too hard. I just want to give up. And help us to look then back to Jesus and see the value that he had in us, and help us to place that value upon our marriage, upon our kids, upon our parents, the value upon our job and upon our school and upon our learning and upon our church and upon our relationship with you. Heavenly Father, help us to see that there is this great value and that anything in life that is worth doing is going to be hard. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be difficult. But by your power, by your Holy Spirit, by your grace and the reminder of how much you loved us, you can continue to spur us on to even bigger and greater things, even harder things, even more difficult things, because this life is valuable. Thank you for that lesson, and this we all pray. In Jesus' name, amen.